Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Pulgasari.
1985.
Produced by Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
I was a little anxious going into this one because I didn't know, like, exactly what it was going to be.
Yeah.
I was afraid it was going to be, like, propaganda.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was. Based on what I've read about this movie and the director of this movie.
Yeah.
I had like kind of a different take on it.
You're talking about the kidnapping?
Yeah.
Yeah. Becky read that book. There's a book that came out and it's about the kidnapping of this director and his wife. I mean, although they were like already like separated or divorced or something, but the kidnapping and how they were there for a period of time making movies for Kim Jong-il, basically. Yeah,
but the thing is, I had when the movie starts, the king
and Toho people too, right? You heard about that too, right?
Like, yeah, they
got people come from Toho thinking that they're going to go shoot something in China and got kidnapped as well. Like the suit actor, both suit actor. There was like a suit actor that does like Minya and a suit actor that did Godzilla in one of the series.
Yeah, I think it was the Godzilla from the 90s or the 80s, I want to say. Came so this was before
80s would
that.
Be a good guess.
Yeah. In the movie, the king is portrayed as a bad guy.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Because I think if your film's being produced by a dictator, you wouldn't want that to be, you wouldn't want to, you know, kind of, you know, make those analogies.
Right.
But right. I found that this is also
a communist, but it's, but it's like, there's also, it's, you know, it's like the people. Yeah. There's that one guy has a video where he comes up with three different interpretations of the movie.
Okay.
And kind of like puts them to the test and he has different theories. And then there's other people who believe that maybe the director was sneaking in their own thing into it.
Right.
And kind of like stuff that was, you know, overlooked. But initially communism, like the communist revolution in Russia was against the Tsar, which would be like the king, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's about, it's like, it's the ruling of, it's the people taking over the bourgeoisie. Mm-hmm. The ruling class or the elite class and stuff. So I don't know if the king necessarily is, you know, the leader of North Korea as in I don't think that's necessarily the comparison. The main thing I think that somewhere the moral of the story of Pulgasari somewhere lies at the end. It's the whole thing. I mean, to get to talk about the end right now, an interpretation is it feels premature. But anyways, it's more that they get this thing. It's like there's one guy. One interpretation was that the monster was Russia, because North Korea had a relationship with Russia, and they were a partner that helped them militarily and with trade and stuff, and then. Later Russia started like working with other countries or something like that, and they kind of like they couldn't count on Russia as much, and then there's a version that's also like the most common interpretation is it's the moral is talks this is the story is like what unchecked capitalism can do.
Mm-hmm.
So under the one regime, the emperor is taking away all their farming and pots. All the farming implements and pots and stuff. And they, with the help of a monster that eats iron, are able to defeat them. However, the monster keeps eating iron and they end up having to still give them their farming implements and their pots to satisfy the hunger for iron that this monster has. And so in that sense, it's like, you know, you ended up where you were anyways. And that kind of thing.
Right. I feel like,
you know,
okay.
It's like you gets out of control.
Mm-hmm. I read that this is the last movie that the director did before escaping to the United States.
Right.
So I was thinking that he was trying to put in his sort of anti-dictator slant on things.
That's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible he tried to sneak some things. You know, it's risky, but it's possible. Yeah.
Right. It's like Rod Serling. Didn't people tell Rod Serling, like, oh, you can't do a show about racism or you know, or classism or anything. Totally. And so he created, you know,
just science. Just the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, like, yeah. So I always kept thinking, oh, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like, you know, wrapped up in a monster movie. Like, I mean, similar to Godzilla, the original Godzilla's, like, you know, like a metaphor for the atomic bomb and stuff. So I was like watching this and I'm like, oh, like I just assumed it was going to just be flat out propaganda, you know, for, you know, in favor of, you know, the fearless leader or whatever. And then so I was like really, really anxious going into it. But then I saw it was different. I'm like, oh, huh, that's interesting. I was also a little worried about going into this movie because I knew it took place during samurai times, and we've seen three Daimajin movies, and I was like, okay, it's gonna be one of those. But I mean,
I got that from the opening credits. The opening credits is like a shot of like it's the palace with like an image of the Pulgasari in the distance. I goes, oh, this feels like a Daimajin.
Right. Or like, what was that? The Magic Serpent? Like that movie too.
Yeah.
Where at least it was weird, but there wasn't any monster stuff till like the very end. I actually enjoyed this movie for the most part, just because it was kind of, there was a lot more monster in it than what we normally see in like those other movies I just mentioned. And I was kind of fascinated by the little version. I really enjoyed the little version.
It's also weird because it's like a period piece that was made in the 80s. So there's like this synth music with it that didn't quite
match. It doesn't match up, but I enjoyed the music. Like as music, I was like, oh, this is fun music. But it definitely didn't match at all.
Yeah, did you take a lot of notes on this one?
Not really a lot. Not really.
Yeah, a lady gets run over by a cart. there's so much hiding stuff.
Right.
So much put things and covering up with branches and stuff.
All the iron and the tools for gardening.
Oh, gosh, and there's a lot of crying in this movie.
Yeah.
So much suffering and crying. It's, I think it's... It's a little melodramatic for my taste. I mean, it's definitely, there's so much like, he's not eating.
There's like a lot of torture too.
It's just so much of that.
Like the old guy.
So much.
The old guy doesn't get food and they torture him and they whip him. And then like later there's like an old lady in a chair getting her shins hit with wood, probably because they ran out of iron. But it's just, yeah, there's a lot going on, like, as far as that goes. Which is why I'm glad that Pulgasari shows up, like, 20 minutes in.
That was 20 minutes. It felt longer.
He starts praying to the little toy at 20 minutes in.
Well, made it out of food.
Yeah.
Formed it out of rice. That's my just, favorite part. A creature made out of food, mainly rice, I'm assuming. I mean, I don't know what kind of food they're throwing through that window. So rice is the obvious choice, and he's formed out of rice and the dirt that the rice picked up when he was picking up out the floor. And then that, and the lady doing her sewing pricks her finger, it lands on the doll, and the doll comes to life.
Right.
And starts in on her needles.
Yeah. I like the little version, the little tiny one. Because it looks like they built a set.
The little set. Yeah. Or we call it the giant set with the little guy. Amazing.
Yeah. And like
it was like in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. Or the Incredible Shrinking Lady. Or like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or something with the giant scissors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked all of that stuff. It had such a Daimajin vibe to it that I thought that Pulgasari wasn't going to show up till the very end. But seeing like the little version show up just after like the 20-minute mark was pretty great.
Actually, my favorite part was when the executioner is about to cut that guy's head off. mouth. And he jumps and starts eating the sword.
Yeah, it's a funny power to have, and I kind of liked it. It reminded me a little bit of, what was it, Daigoro? Where Daigoro kept needing to eat. But I liked that the way that Polgasari ate nothing but iron, it made it feel like that was becoming his skin and armor in a way.
Oh, like that's interesting.
Like, yeah, kind of a, like a, because he's like all kind like of a metallic. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like rhinoceros skin. Yeah, there was I liked also how like he just basically he found the iron wherever he found it, where he's like, oh, I'm just going to eat this hinge wherever it is. In fact, at first I thought when they put him in that big cage that I guess the cage is wood. I don't know. I guess the cage is wood.
Yeah, it was. But when they first presented
the cage, I was like, "Oh, he can't just eat out of that cage."
Yeah,
I guess it was wood. They kind of
they
figured out how to defeat Magneto.
Right. Yeah, I looked at the cage real good, and I was like, "Wait a second, he could just eat through that." And yeah, I was.
Yeah, I wrote this is like the North Korean Braveheart.
I've never seen Braveheart.
I think you might have missed your window.
I know. I've seen like one or two Mel Gibson movies, and now I think I'm good. yeah, I wrote.
Before the news came out about Mel Gibson, I loved Braveheart. It was one of my favorite movies. It was like that Lawrence of Arabia and Spartacus, which is these great epic arm, you know, battle uprising kind.
Right. Yeah. I was fascinated by the sword sounds.
Yeah.
The sounds a sword makes.
So was my dog.
Oh, no. there's a lot of weird
noises at the dog. What about the sound that baby Pulgasari makes? Like, he's like a squeaky toy?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that was another, like, there's a, like, it's funny because, like, so many different random things start setting up the dog, and she starts barking at the TV. And there's a lot of weird noises in this one. There's also noises that are like kind of like the ambient noises of the forest, and I was trying to figure out what animal that's supposed to be, and if it's someone doing, because it kind of sounds like someone doing a voice, like when like people meet and give each other the signal and they're like or something. So
right.
It kind of sounded like that. I mean, it's I don't know. It seems like this might have been all shot and then kind of recorded later in many ways. It has that style of sound, like those older movies where like they didn't record sound on the site. They just shot it and then later recorded the sound in studio.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. I noticed in the because I watched the – I think the only version I have – or they have out there is the Korean version with English subtitles, and they would call Polgasari Polgasaria or something, which I thought was interesting. But the thing is, that's what they would call it. The villagers would call it. The bad guys, when they're talking about him, the subtitles would say Polgasari, but they weren't saying that. So I think the bad guys haven't had a different name for him or didn't know what to call him, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I also liked the spear carts.
The rockets
that came and just no, the one that they're pushing the carts on wheels.
Okay.
And they stab them from both sides.
Yeah, I was looking at like the sort of rockets. And I kind of wanted to know, like, when this took place and how those rockets worked. Like,
right.
I mean, obviously this isn't a period piece in the sense that it's, like, historically accurate. But the fact that there was rockets I thought was kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, there's catapults.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I wonder about those rockets, too. They kind of feel a little... like it's like a hyper reality, like there's a little bit of suspension that, but I don't really know when rockets actually started. I mean, I guess fireworks, when did they start?
I don't know. A long time ago.
Right? You know, you put something sharp on the end of a bottle rocket, it might be able to do some damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're like arrow shaped.
Yeah, they look like arrows with rockets on the end of it, like a
propulsion system. Flames coming out the back. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
There. So, I was glad when they had the horse head. I was glad that the horse head looked super fake.
You were glad?
I was glad it looked super fake.
It looked super fake.
Because I was like, oh, that's paper mache.
I was like, is that real? Is that fake?
But then there's like
yeah,
a giant carcass later. I'm like, okay, that's probably still fake. But then like when they were like carrying the pig around, I'm like, ah, fuck. I'm trying to enjoy this as much as I can.
It's hard to know because I think it is also possible like seeing a decapitated horse head might kind of look fake. I don't know.
I convinced myself that it was.
I wasn't sure because I didn't want to back up and examine it. I mean, the horse, like, it's like, how does it compare to the horse head in The Godfather? Because that's a real one.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Freaking Coppola.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You like an Apocalypse Now?
Yeah, I saw that movie once, and I'm like, why? Why? There's effects guys out there that need jobs.
Right.
Yeah. But at that party, it's like the first time we see the giant foot, the giant Pulgasari foot. And it's like kind of tap into the music.
So great.
Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Like we've seen giant feet before.
These actors had to act with a giant foot. I don't know. That might be my favorite part now.
There's one thing with the suit that I found interesting, and don't know if it was a mistake or not, but the chest looked like it had muscles under the skin. And it might just be the costume getting wrinkled, but I thought it kind of looked cool.
It moved like the skin was severed from what was underneath it.
Yeah, like a musculature underneath. But I know it was just the fabric wrinkling.
I wonder. I don't know much about like... Because like, I know... I mean, they definitely do that a lot now as far as like...
Yeah.
They'll have like a muscle thing or... especially when they're creating creatures to give like the muscle structure and then the suit kind of becomes the skin that goes over it. I wonder when that kind of started... if they've been doing that as far back. Like, I wonder if, like, those old movies, because there's so many, like, movies from the 50s that had, like, gorilla suit people.
Right.
And I wonder if those are, that's a good question.
But I don't know if it was on purpose, right? Sorry,
disappears. There's a part in the middle where he just disappears. I was like, where did he go? Because, like, he disappeared.
Well, it's not when he was captured, right?
No, it's before he was captured. It's like between middle to when he was big.
Was he out just looking for iron, getting bigger?
Yeah, I'm like, where did he go for that period?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I didn't think about it. maybe I was already excited that he showed up already. That I just kind of let it go. Because I didn't really that he's been too gone. Much. Yeah.
There's a lot of projection. Once he got big, he was basically just like a projection in the background for most of the stuff.
Oh,
that's a great one where there's like the one where he's like full human sized and he's marching there alongside the whole group.
Yeah.
But yeah, then once he got big, it was just like they're just like performing in front of a movie screening.
Right, or they had like the big crowd shots where he's like behind the hill. Classic thing that you hate in Godzilla movies, like in the 90s and stuff.
So when the cage showed up, it looks like they did like a forced perspective to make the cage look giant at the very beginning when they just kind of revealed the cage. Because it's just a man-sized cage and they wanted to make it look like it was for a giant. That was pretty sure.
Yeah, that looked good. So,
go ahead.
Was it a tiny man? Oh, they just made a man-sized cage. Got it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was like, well, then how do they fit the guy in the little 4-gram miniature? And it's like, yeah, okay.
No. It's before he got into the cage. It was just the cage itself. It was kind of like, like the cage was closer to the camera to make it look so much bigger than the people.
Right.
So then they light the cage on fire. I'm at him in the cage already, right? So then
right.
They light the cage on fire.
But we've established that the cage is made of wood.
Right.
So he should be able to have enough time to get out of there. Especially since he seems to be iron. But
I don't know
what. So I guess he's not iron?
So I don't know, because after the cage gets burnt and destroyed, he reemerges and he's red. And by red, that means they shine a red light on him to make him look red.
Right.
And he's pissed. And he's basically like, yeah, I was like, is he now like molten iron?
Yeah.
Because then he jumps into the water and boils the people. Because he makes the water so hot.
Right. So I think that's what the deal is. I think he's like taking the iron and it's making his body more iron.
Okay.
And so like by lighting him on fire, now he's like this sort of like, not molten, but like red hot, like the red hot poker thing that you'd see them
right.
hammering when they make swords and stuff.
Right.
Which is kind of awesome because like, yeah, he could boil the water and just like, walk up to buildings and catch them on fire and stuff.
Yeah, this is the part I wrote, finally destruction, because mm-hmm. everything else was just projections, but then he just really, like, when he destroys the palace and all that, it's yeah. pretty great.
Right.
He got shot in the eye.
it was a pretty good shot. Like, he said, aim for the eye, and then boom, they hit him in boom. The eye.
Easy, yeah.
And it was kind of cool. For some reason, it reminded me of the X from Outer Space Returns. Where the rocket was sticking out of the dude's butt.
Because yeah.
This is like only the second time we've seen a rocket like sticking in a creature. Like usually they bounce off or just explode in front of them. But to see one right. actually just sit there and penetrate was kind of cool. And then we get some blood dripping out of the eye, which was fun.
There's a part where someone says, can't just sit here and cry all the time. And I was like, oh man, now you say it. Because there's so much sitting and crying in this movie.
But at least did you feel like validated by that?
Yeah, it was funny. After he burned everybody and he was just sitting there and he's still kind of hot and everyone kind of touches him and goes, oh, he's still hot.
Yeah.
But he just wants to keep being iron. This is when he becomes a problem and they have to come up with some kind of thing.
This is the prequel. This is like the prequel to Daigoro versus Goliath.
Yeah. Like, right. Right. This exactly.
Like, we didn't know where that monster came from and why it was hungry. This is
the origin story. Yeah. Now we have it. Great. Right. It's the new whore.
Yeah. That was off-putting.
So then it's up to her to solve the Pulgasari problem. He was so great, and now he's a problem.
Right.
So she hides in a bell made of iron.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
He eats her. And that kills him.
He crushes her like into like a Twinkie. Like she looks like she's like the cream filling in a Twinkie. And then as he's eating her, she does like a prayer, right? Because it's the prayer that created him. And they yeah. said at the beginning that the prayer would work because it's his last bit of desperation being transferred into this rice creature, like this, right. This thing. And so I think she knew that, and it had to be like an act of desperation to get rid of him.
Or it's like he eats his daughter and gets so upset he turns into stone.
Right. If you're gonna sacrifice yourself, that's a good way to do it, is hide in some iron. But I definitely didn't hate this movie like I thought I was going to. And then I thought, like, I was entertained. I like that. I'm glad that Pulgasari showed up early in the movie, even though there was destruction.
Wait. He turns into stone, but then he turns into a baby Pulgasari again for a second and then disappears, right?
Yeah, he, like, crumbles. And in the pieces, was it the There's original? There's a
baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. Yeah, I didn't hate it. And it's kind of like just for... being a completionist, it's worth seeing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I feel like if we saw this before Daimajin movies, we wouldn't have liked it. I wouldn't have liked it as much. I feel like...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I feel like...
Yeah, it's grading on a curve.
Right.
I gotcha.
Sure.
And I believe this is our only Korean kaiju movie, right? So
what about The Host?
Right. That's South Korean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You just said Korean, though. I'm not. I wasn't being a stickler.
Yeah.
You said Korea, the only Korean, and I was like, well, yeah, there's that other Korean, and then you come up with.
Got it. Well, it reminds me of that scene in Lost, where your character says, "Is that the good one or the good bad
Korea?"
One? Yeah.
The good Korea. Right.
Right. That dude won an Academy Award. Lots of them.
For
Parasite. I got to see Parasite, but yeah. Who knew when we saw The Host? It. Yeah, who knew when we watched The Host that, yeah, it's crazy.
Did you see that movie Okja?
I'm afraid to watch it.
That's his too.
Yeah, yeah.
You're afraid to watch it because of Jake Gyllenhaal's character?
Oh, is he in that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I just, it's one of those ones where it's like, I mean, you're really sympathetic towards the creature.
Yeah.
And, those kind of bum me out sometimes.
Oh, okay.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to get into it. I know what it's sort of about.
Yeah.
And I know it makes people want to change their eating habits.
Does it?
I don't know. You've seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah, but I was already vegetarian at the time, so yeah. It wasn't like it wasn't like, oh, I better change my ways.
Well, that's the thing is like, but I feel like for me, I'm always wanting to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like I'm like, but sometimes like I'm just like I just want to eat burgers and stuff. And sure. Then they're making like alternatives now where I'm like, oh man, it's pretty much like tastes like that. So I'm afraid I don't know why I should just watch it. Like I like the idea.
You should watch it because he's good. I mean, Snowpiercer. Yeah. Did you see that one?
No, I recently bought it. It was on iTunes for $4.99, and I've always wanted to watch it. So it's like
his movies, and there's going to be a series. So you know, kind of having. Seen it. He's good, and he's really good at talking about and working social issues into stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's that you should watch it just because he comes up with good stories about people, and they have great, you know, little extra like social meanings in them. Because like even the host, that whole family was just it's very much about how like the people who are in the class that's kind of struggles to make ends meet and how, you know, they're just trying to, you know, keep this little stand going and all that.
Yeah.
Because in the same thing, there's also like the guy and his kid and how they do what they call that mischief in The Host. They're talking about, yeah, we steal this. It's called mischief. It's like it's kind of like harmless bad stuff. You know, it's not quite breaking laws, but it's, you know.
Well, I have plenty of time to watch both of these movies. so I'll be able to do that. I'll check them out. If I watch Okja, is that something we should discuss on the podcast?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
it's not really a kaiju movie.
He's
right?
Not a monster. He's not a monster.
He kind of looks like Daigoro.
He's not a mushroom either. What? It's more of a feelings movie than it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if it counts as. I don't know if it works. Well, although we do have some slots to fill.
Yeah, and we watch Battle in Outer Space, which there is no excuses. Like at least Mysterians had Mogera, the giant robot, but Battle for Outer Space was like. Or Battle in Outer Space was like zero, nothing kaiju related. So,
well, yeah. I mean, my argument for Battle from Outer Space is that 60s Tokusatsu. Yeah, it's just so good. Yeah, I can't not.
The Shiro Honda. Speaking of which, let's talk about next episode.
All right, let's do it.
We might still have stuff to talk about Pulgasari, but.
No, I think we covered the movie.
Yeah, I think so. I think we covered it. We'll have to go back in the edit and find out. All right, so our next episode is going to be half human.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, you can find that on kaijupod.com. You also get links to our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, which continues to rise. It's baffling to me, but it's fine. I'm glad that people are able to find the show however they find it. Oh, and this is something new. Since we are recording somewhat close to when this is released, we are on Spotify. It took forever. So yeah, I tried to get like Darmalars and All Right, Let's Do a Podcast on there and this one, and it just took forever. And sometime in the last week it popped up. So Spotify is now an option to listen to this show. So that's cool. Yeah, so look forward to the next episode, Half Human, in a couple weeks. And until next time, I'm going to flee North Korea and direct Three Ninjas, Knuckle Up.
I'm going to play with my rice and make myself a little guy.
It's just rice, right? It looked kind of muddy.
Well, they're throwing it and he was picking up out of the dirt.
Okay.
It's hard to tell what was in that bowl to begin with, but I think rice is the medium that I would work with.
Right. I didn't know if you were insinuating that there was also poo in it.
No.
Just what? Mud.
For the iron? Oh, did I say shit?
No, I just didn't know what you were insinuating. And you were, because you were
they're like throwing stuff through his window and he's just gathering it up. But it's just a dusty floor and a thing. And I was like, oh, God, he's going to eat that? And he's like, nope, I'm going to make a little guy.
Okay. All right, that works. Just making sure. Who knows what's on that floor? It was 1985. All right.